You're listening to Business Stories with Ryan Arcaracci, where I speak to business professionals from all walks of life. Thanks for listening, and let's get to it.
Welcome back, everybody. Ryan here, Business Stories Podcast. I'm excited to have this episode happen because I'm talking to a good client of mine, someone I've known for a while, Walter Nunez with A&P Painting out in Georgia. Walter's been a client working with us. He's got a great company in the home service space. So, Walter, thank you for being here, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for the invite. It's a pleasure to be even considered to joining the conversation. So, yeah, it's great.
Of course. Now, I mean, we don't really talk a lot about your background, but tell us about the history of your business and how this all got started.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I started A&P Painting and Flooring, actually. That's our actual DBA and how we focus our marketing within the painting and flooring industry about 7 years ago. It's been wonderful simply because it allowed not only be part of one branch of the service industry, but also the flooring, which goes hand in hand together. And 7 years ago, I was in a whole different industry, whole different business, more like on a project management scenario and in retail and whole different business. So it was retail. And I started getting involved in the construction of new stores, retail stores. And in that interim, I started getting in touch with contractors, licensings, and so the day-to-day activity of some of the painters, some of the flooring guys, some of the plumbers, and so on out. So, during those stages, I pretty much saw the lack of professionalism, saw the lack of follow through, the business knowledge essence of the day-to-day workers, which, by the way, they were amazing at what they did, but a little bit more organization, a little bit more business knowledge would take him to the next level.
I thought. Right.
And what do we know? I mean, little that I know, 2 years later, I found myself unemployed and have sold my previous business and I didn't know what to do. And then, it eventually came back to me and said, hey, why don't I go back and kind of pursue that idea and get into the contracting business? Now, the funny thing, Ryan, is that somebody like me with lots of business experience and management and sales training and, and a heavy, very heavy IT knowledge. Yeah. It's never done labor before. It's right. Never, I've never been a painter. I was the one that would call someone. It's funny, right? I would be the one who called someone to change a light bulb, right? And look at us now. We were able to build A&P Painting and Flooring. Now 5 locations. We were able to franchise by year number 3 and started to have our first franchisee in year number 3. So yeah, man, it's been a wonderful thing ever since.
That's crazy. So what was that like? It sounds like you had to get a little bit out of your comfort zone to go from sort of a computer tech guy into being a home service, hands dirty, kind of getting in there. Like, what was that like? Was it uncomfortable at first to dive into that world?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say uncomfortable, maybe on the physical aspect. Yes. Because now, you're outside, you're exposed and you're, sweating and all that good stuff. But in my opinion, it was actually very interesting. And for some reason, it became like a therapeutical. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but for me, it was like, oh my gosh, for once, I'm not using my brains to work. I'm just like doing physical labor. So it actually was like kind of a workout session. Right. And something very funny is that obviously, most of our coworkers at that point, when I was trying to learn the trade, they were, straight out, help me out, teach me and how to do the painting, the tricks of the trade and so whatnot. And, I had a lot of fun. But yeah, it certainly was a different kind of challenge, if you will.
So talk to us about the company, like what sort of services do you offer and how do you approach, you know, the culture and customer satisfaction? What's sort of your mantra when it comes to working with new clients?
Yeah, sure. So AMP, like I said, focuses on painting and flooring. And as I mentioned before, they usually go connected both hand in hand together. You know, when someone is trying to do a lift up in their, you know, decoration or maybe selling the property or buying a new property, those two will usually show the most impact for the money, right?
Right.
And so within that aspect, AMP as a franchisor focuses and trains our new franchisees to strictly focus on a B2C concept, you know, business to consumer. That is kind of our bread and butter. We deal directly with homeowners and their own projects. And within our culture of AMP, we certainly preach be consistent, but most importantly, be completely transparent and, you know, set the right expectations. We're not going to try to, we're not going to try to oversell or overpromise just to get a deal. We always use this example, you know, we do painting and we do flooring. We do not own the time machine as an example for clients, because for some reason, people might think that, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a repaint job and that's going to make my house brand new like 20, 30 years ago. You know, that's just completely unrealistic. So that's kind of a secret sauce for AMP, be completely transparent and setting the right expectations with our clients.
Right, right. And I mean, I want to ask you too, if someone's looking to hire anybody doing what you're doing, I think the biggest question people always ask is, how am I going to find someone I can trust, right? And what are the right questions to ask? How do I know if I'm getting ripped off? How do I know if it's the right company? What do you recommend to people out there that are approaching this thought, like, okay, I want to get some flooring and painting done, but you know, how do I look out for the right, making sure I have the right type of people to do this job?
Well, that's a good one, because you never know what you're going to find until you actually put people until you try it, right?
Right.
Whether they're good, whether they just, you know, telling you, oh yeah, they're amazing, they're professionals, but at the end of the day, you go and check out the job and man, it's a mess. Yeah. So you can't really trust until you actually try it. But I think what's working out for us is a referral within our own employees. It's working out great, because now not only helps the culture, but also brings in families and friends, and it brings the opportunity to have consistent work within the industry. Because as we know, comes winter time, you know, things are like completely dead cold, right? And everybody's looking for work.
Yeah.
But that's actually the perfect time to start recruiting and start looking for people that knows how to paint and do quality job, which is what we focus, because come the summer, they want to have that consistency throughout the year. And we also, as again, culture of the company, we go to bat for them and we keep them employed and we keep them busy throughout the rest of the year, which is amazing. Because, you know, I mean, I can count endless times where people might have a better opportunity elsewhere during the summer, but they choose to stay with us because they like our systems, they like our processes, they like how we treat the, you know, the employees.
Yep.
And also they love that we're going to have their back no matter what throughout the entire year and ongoing, so long, you know, obviously there's that good chemistry, right? So, and it's worked out very well. To the point where sometimes we don't even have to go look for employees. They come to us and we just cultivate them and nurture them and turn them into, you know, great painters and move forward, you know?
That's great. You know, and I got to ask you too, because one of the things I've noticed just doing some of my own projects at home here and there, you know, technology and like the product changes, like what are some trends you're seeing in painting and material and flooring? I've heard so much about like heated flooring these days and like the materials. handling like spills, and there's just so many cool, innovative products out there. What do you know about, or are you using anything out there that, that's current and trending in terms of this type of product or materials?
Yeah. So, I mean, on the painting side, you know, we have the higher end products, you know, with Sherwin Williams, Behrs, and PPGs and all that good stuff, right? So we're heavily focusing on kitchen cabinets when doing and using Emerald, as you know, if anybody who's in the trade will think that was like, that's pretty standard. Yeah. But there's also PPG who has their better, you know, other products, right? So as our company, we kind of like start tap down selling and go from the higher product all the way down to the super paints and the contracts graded, which is what we want, because people do recognize that quality of a conversation. And obviously, you know, not everybody is going to want to get the best product, but the ones that do care know the value and also pay the additional. So same thing for LVPs. That's one of the most trending flooring materials that has been for the past 10 years, I want to say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's laminate, it's waterproof, can't really go wrong with it. You can put them in basements, you can put them on slab, you can put them on, second floors and things of that nature. And it goes a long way. It's not as expensive and it's really clean and pretty, right? So, you know, LVP kind of revolutionized the flooring industry for the past 10 years. We're just here taking advantage of what we have at hand now.
No, call me stupid, but what does LVP stand for? I'm assuming it's laminate. Is it laminate vinyl? I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
So a lot of people have their own versions for it. And yeah. We call it luxury vinyl plank.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a vinyl on steroids. It's really nice, really good finish. And has all kinds of pricings, by the way. They come in, I mean, they go as low as $1 a square feet all the way to like $8, $9 a square footage, which is, okay, again, you have a huge different, a huge variance of quality, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and what's the value of that? Is it like, so, I mean, we're talking like it's more durable. Like if you've got pets or kids running around, or you spill something, or you drop something, or furniture. I know furniture can also destroy flooring if it's cheaper flooring. So what's, is it, mm-hmm. what is it, just durability? Is it look? Is it, what is it that makes it so valuable?
Yeah. So the most differentiator cost value will be the durability, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if you scratch it with a sharp enough object, you're still going to dent it. You're still going to scratch it. There's nothing indestructible. You know, a 20 mil rate, it's like commercial resistance, and 30, 40 years, maybe even lifetime warranty, depending on manufacturer for a home, residential usage.
Yeah.
But to your point, you know, it really comes down to the usage. Is there a family? Is this family have a, I don't know, maybe a shepherd that's 90 pounds running around all day long? Do they upkeep with the nails trimming? Do the kids come in and drag their bicycles around? You know, yeah. So you kind of have to gauge that scenario. And once again, it becomes an educational moment for the client, you know, and know they're engaging, right?
Yeah.
Similar with the painting. I mean, are you going to have kids coming around, or do you have little ones? Are you know, typically if you put in flat on your walls, guess what? They're going to be all spot up and dirt, right? We all know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Once again, I mean, I want to say 12 and 20 mil and higher rate on LVP are definitely the ones to that are most dominant in the market, mm-hmm. and really good for residential.
Good, good. So, and I want to segue a little bit into the tech side. I know, you know, you've probably got a nerdy side like I do, Walter. So let's talk about, you know, like Client Tether. Obviously, you've been using us for quite some time now. Any good tidbits on the success you've had with it, how it's helped you, you know, any stories to back that up? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Like you said, you know, we all have a little backstory there, and I can nerd out about clients a little day long. And it's great, man. What can I say? When we started business, and for the first 3 years, we used to use a very renowned other CRM, and it was limited, right? So we outgrew it, and the very next logical choice was you guys, Client Tether, which was great, not only because of the ability to have multi locations for, you know, tailored for franchisees, right? Yeah. Is that how you guys normally call it?
Right. Yep.
Right. Tailored for franchisors, rather. But also one thing that really, really helped me to make that decision also was the ability to have the estimating tools embedded in it.
Yeah.
So that the estimating tools are able to pretty much be customizable. Yes, I get it. It might be a little, you know, headache. You got to put in the work, but what is it worth that you don't have to put in work in it, right? So once you pass that fence, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It becomes like a plug and play type of numbers. It makes estimating very simple. And you know, one of the biggest things for us was the latest upgrade to compatibility to Company Cam, which now we can integrate our pictures with the remarks, with the drawings in it. So it brings clarity to the client when we're doing estimates or when we send an estimates. You know, oftentimes we've gotten very much compliments because of the detail oriented and organizing our proposals look like.
Really?
From a consumer's end, which is for us is huge because it sets the right tone in the professionalism of the company. Look at me, I can't speak.
Okay,
now.
You're excited. I get it. It's okay.
Right. So
yeah.
It's we've gotten a lot of compliments. Clients, you know, tell us, hey, you know, I haven't seen a proposal this detail before. I love how you guys draw on your pictures and add notes to this. And tech for AMP is certainly a heavy weight component of the culture.
Yeah.
And say that is simply because we also have like full-blown Microsoft 365.
Right.
We operate our calendars, and how Client Tether makes all of that transition compatible is just amazing. Our systems and processes talk to Client Tether, you know, very smoothly, and make estimating very, very much easy and straightforward. So yeah, man.
What about the sales process? Can you walk us through any particular jobs or projects where you felt like Client Tether really created a good, positive customer experience, and it showed, walk us through like sort of how it streamlined things a little bit for you.
Yeah. So, well, the sales pipe, right? The way it is designed so that you are in constant update of what your clients are.
Yeah.
And the one thing we love the most is how you have the automation built into it. We have our connection plans. We have our follow-up plans, which becomes 100% customizable.
Yeah.
And pretty much you can sustain conversations, text messages. You know, that's one of the things that I want to say increased our closing rate because...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, so just a funny story. Justin, our newest guy, estimator that started business 3 months ago with us, he went to do, I want to say, maybe 3 to 4 estimates back-to-back for a span of 4 days, right?
Right.
At the end of the week, he's done 12 or 15 estimates.
Yeah.
Next thing you know... he's starting getting emails from people that he saw weeks before, and had we not have those connection plans, you would have all forgotten about those clients. Follow-ups would have gone out the window. He would have not closed the deals because he would not remember who he went to see yesterday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the things I think that client tether has, and it's very valuable. Again, you just got to put in the time to set it all up and make sure that you fully understand it and you make client tether do what you want it to do.
Right.
You know, and it's personalizable. So yeah, it's I mean, Justin jumped from, I want to say maybe 15% closing rate over to like 45 in like a matter of a week.
Wow.
It was huge, man. So he's doing very well right now. He opened his location once again a month ago. So he's actually, you know, doing really well. He's really happy about it. And so are we.
That's awesome. Yeah. So let's jump into, the franchise thing, because you're growing, you're a new franchise. Who are you looking for in a franchisee, and what's sort of the culture? Like, how do you support your franchisees, and talk about the process with that?
So yeah, typically our a good prospect for us, you know, is going to be someone who has somewhat understanding in business principles.
Right.
Typically the people who are scared of starting a business, they've always wanted to, they've always had the little bug in their ear, but they didn't know how. They don't know, you know, they wish they could have a big brother to like, hey, you know, take me here, take me to this party. I want to go with you to the bar and talk to this girl that I'm a little afraid of talking to begin with, right?
Because
you don't know what you're going to find, right?
Right.
So that's kind of our model. And it's worked so well because we have this mantra of such a family community where, and this is, again, historically within our franchisees, their spouses within months quit their full-time jobs and they join the franchisee, and all of a sudden becomes a family team effort.
Oh, really? Wow. That's great.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I remember Scott is our first one, but, and that his spouse didn't do that. But all the other four franchisees, the spouses ended up quitting their full-time job and joining their husbands. And now they work as a couple, and it's becoming more like a family-oriented company. All of our families get together. We talk about different improvements or different issues that we come across, and we support each other, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, AMP has its corporate office here located in Atlanta, Georgia, which, we have the staff of four girls to provide, back office support. We do a little bit of a call-in center with us, take care on our, QuickBooks scenarios and other services that we offer, so that new franchisees come in and they can focus solemnly on doing the sale and bringing in business, which is really what they're out and about, right?
Yeah.
You don't really have to worry about the back end stuff because we made the processes, we have built the systems and having them in place for AMP Painting and Flooring to run on automation all the way through the scheduled for production. So it's a pretty smooth system.
And what I think is great is you found success in the process with client tether. So you're kind of just, in a way, when a new franchisee, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about becoming a franchisee, Walter's done the hard work. He's really built the structure, figured out the process, figured out all the tools, and all you have to do, Walter, is say, here you go, here's everything. It's plug and play. Now you can get to work. And it's not an uphill battle like you had to have to build the business, right? Because you've really set the foundation, right?
Yeah, exactly. We like to think of it as buying a case of Legos, right? You know? They give you instructions and one piece after another one and use it and goes in order. And at the end of the day, you have your figure, you know? So that's basically how AMP has been built out. And once again, a huge component of that, actually a very important part of that is client tether that makes all of that possible.
Yeah. As long as it's not like IKEA instructions, because I hate those things.
Well, I mean, we're not giving the tools. You have to have the brains. That's all I know.
I try. Anyway, yeah. So, Walter, let's talk about the future of the franchise, because it sounds like you're growing. What do you see in the industry in the next 3 to 5 years? Because I think in terms of technology and the product and the materials, what's your outlook in the next, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now?
So we certainly conquered the Atlanta market, and we've actually started franchising out of state. So okay. You will start seeing AMP in very soon, actually. I'm gonna jump ahead of here a little bit. We're getting ready to launch in Tennessee and mm-hmm. also in Florida. So we're growing. So our method of growth is not volume. We wanna grow kind of like a one, maybe two locations at a time.
Right.
Because we believe that we are still on foundation build out. Yep. Right. Right now there are 5 AMPs operational, and most importantly, they're already profitable. To us, that is the most important thing. We will not jump into the next one until we ensure that you have the proper training and you are ready to, you know, working on your own. Right. So with that being said, within the next 2 years, I would think that we will cover maybe 3 to 4 different states now.
Okay.
And that's where our goal is, you know? So if anybody's out there kind of like not knowing, not sure what they want to do, but they're ready to jump into business, but they don't know how, you know, we'll like to get connected to these individuals so long someone has the drive, you know. And this, Ryan, you know this kind of thing. This is common sense, right?
Yeah.
You get out as much as you put in.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with someone that's coming, let's say someone comes on board and they have the drive and they have the right tools, like what should they have as an expectation in terms of profitability? Are we looking at, you know, 6 months, a year? Like what are you seeing as far as everybody, if everybody follows your steps, right? In your process and listens to you, Walter, what's the expectation there realistically for a new franchisee, would you say?
So based on what we've seen with our previous franchisees, they go on the blue by the following month or maybe a month calendar.
Okay.
Because the investment portion is not as greater. The business and revenue starts within weeks because we focus heavily on sell by sell scenario concept training.
Yeah.
We provide the labor support with it. So technically, and it's happened, one of our franchisees joined us, finished training, you know, of 4 weeks, and by week 6, he landed his first $15,000 contract.
Wow. $15,000 on week 6. So that's 2 weeks after training?
After training, 2 weeks, you know, and it was mind blowing, you know.
Yeah.
Same individual is getting ready to close year 1 and he's pacing $500,000.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And are these residential or are these commercial or a combination of both?
No.
Or?
Residential, mainly residential, because we believe that residential margins are just far superior than, you know, I guess, commercial. But, you know, again, we're not quite that experienced on the commercial aspect yet. I'm sure we will at some point as we continue to grow ourselves.
Yeah.
But we focus mainly on the residential aspect.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Walter. I mean, I'm going to ask you one final question. You know, if you had to go back in time to meet younger Walter before you did all this amazing business, what advice would you give yourself? I'm just curious. Let's say you had to meet yourself at 18. Or
man, younger. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And take it for a grain of salt, really. But I will tell 18-year-old Walter, don't waste your time in school. Don't waste your time in college.
Right.
Become a painter, you know, start looking for the trade businesses, you know, That's what I would tell myself, honestly. But again, different people will have different principles. You know, it's not really what our parents thought as it would be, you know, at different times. And this is not taking on any, you know, anybody or any advice to anybody, really. It's just based on the personal experience. You know, but here we are.
You know, I think there's like this stigma with home services. And I don't know, I think even when I was growing up that, you know, if you told your parents or you told somebody you wanted to be a painter or you wanted to be a contractor or you wanted to fix houses or whatever, they would immediately think, oh, well, what kind of future is that? Or how much money are you going to make doing that? Or I can't believe it, because people don't realize how lucrative and how successful you guys are. And my grandfather was a painter, and I mean, he had a painting business and he made enough money to support that. It was a long time ago and I don't know how much money he made, but I'm sure at the time it was good money. So I think it's almost ridiculous that people feel like home service, people in the home service world can't be successful. I mean, I'm not saying only financially, I'm saying they can also, you know, once you have a crew, you can set your own schedules and you can actually have your time with your family and you can go on vacations. And as long as you know your business is running right, it can create a lot of independence, right? And I think people have this idea that home services, you can't, you know, it's not lucrative. You're not going to be successful. And I think that's completely ridiculous. I mean, don't you feel that way?
Well, it's simply because of the mindset, right? Yeah. Just because, you know, and again, I'm going to say this very candidly and, you know, again, take it for granted as all, but based on personal experience and based on what we coach, based on what we teach our other franchisees and other business owners, just because you know how to do something and you do it very well, that doesn't make you a successful business owner, right? To your point, right? I mean, if I tell my father that I wanted to be a painter back when I was 14, I probably would have gotten not only an ass whooping, but banned for life out of my house and kicked out, right? Because I didn't want to go to school and become a lawyer, right? Wow. That was such a taboo. But no, I guess it, you know, I believe that trade service business is such a on their mind, and people think that there is no money there. And that's wrong. That is completely wrong. You need to have the right tools. You need to have the right mindset. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing once you put your systems in places, you know, but what can I say?
I mean, I could tell you myself, like the other day I did some touch-up work, you know, here I am sounding like I'm a professional, but I did some work in my house, and I got to tell you, like, you know, like there's a little bit of pride when you do some work yourself and you feel good, it looks good. Even if it's just a small thing, I'm like, hey, I did that. That feels good. And I can't imagine, like, it's a $15,000 house, or not a house, but a job, a $15,000 job in a house. And to have that work done and have the pride of, hey, look at what we did. Look at how good this looks. Look how happy the family is that lives here. There's a lot of pride in that. I think it's a great thing to do. And you're really improving people's lives. Cause I know a while ago, I put a floor in with my brother-in-law. And every time I go into that room, I'm like, I feel like, hey, you know, we did this. It feels good. And it's a nice living space, you know? So I think that's a good thing. I mean, you guys got to feel that all the time, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's instant, I believe it's called instant gratification, right? You see it completed, it's done. Yeah, you take pride in that. Yeah. But I guarantee you, from a business owner's perspective, you take a lot more pride when you're building a legacy and you'll see that bank account and revenue coming in consistently. That actually feels way better than whatever.
I think the good thing too with a franchise, like if you have a franchisee, young franchisee coming on board, you know, and they've got young kids or young family down the road, when their kids get older, you know, the kids could take over the business and they could become successful in their kids, and it could become a generational thing, I think. And that's what's beautiful about what you're doing, is that it's a legacy. Their franchise could go on for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years if they're doing things right. And I think that's, you know, you don't have that with a job, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's exactly also, you know, another big problem is like some of these kids that grew up with their parents working on the trade, right? And they saw their parents always like grinding and working and never enough money and sometimes lack of work. Again, you know, just because you're a good painter or a good plumber, you're not, you know, if you don't develop your business, you are not a business owner. You're a job owner, which is two different things.
Right.
And the kid growing in that scenario will be like, man, I don't want to be like that. You know, they lose faith in that type of work. They rather go to school. And again, I'm not matching school. It's just that, you know, the other alternative of working for the bank, it's more appealing. I'm not saying it's wrong. It might work for some people. It might not. Yeah. But, you know, it's the misconception for the people that were doing it for ages, but unfortunately they didn't have they have the lack of knowledge and the lack of business sense to make it a legacy where it becomes a generational thing, where the kids now they have to go to school to better the business. They don't have to actually paint or things of that nature. And so that's what's AMP all about. Like I said, I mean, I've been 7 years into the business, and I tell you, I still don't know how to paint. I still don't know how to put floors.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because that's exactly what we do. But I can sell the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I can certainly program, build out quotes, 10 quotes a day, because we've gotten so good and efficient about it.
Yeah.
And we're able to coach other people to, you know, to do the same thing, copy and paste throughout.
Right.
So I believe legacy is, you know, again, AMP's better flavor than anything else.
Right. Well, this has been a good conversation, Walter. It's always good to talk to you. And I'm really glad that you are getting success with Client Tether and the team. And I hope you'll have a lot more success in the years to come. I know you will with your growth. So as we wrap this up, how can people reach you? Where can they go to find you? And what states are you in if people are listening to this and they do need help with, you know, flooring or painting or any of that?
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously in Atlanta, Georgia for the moment. Like I said, we're getting ready to launch in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and as well as in Tampa, Florida. So, I mean, it becomes really easy to find us. You can find us on Facebook. We're super heavy on social media, our websites. Yeah, man, I'm sure you can share our info at some point. So, yeah. And yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Walter. And if you're listening and you're interested in the franchise, it's a great opportunity. Reach out to Walter, reach out to the team with AMP. And it's always good to talk to you, Walter. I hope we can continue to work together for many years. And thanks for being on the show, man.
All right, man. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, all listeners. Bye-bye now.
Hey, this is Ryan. Are you in the market for a customer relationship management system for your business? Well, before you drop a dime, pick up my book, Customer Relationship Management Exposed, now available on Amazon. Just search Customer Relationship Management Exposed and my name, RyanArcoraci. This is your definitive guide to saving money before purchasing a CRM, so pick it up today.